we as Catholics, we know and can recognize pretty easily when we see other people that are of Protestant religion, if you will, any of the Protestant religions, you can choose one really. We can see their religion and see truly how empty their religion is. It has just a few of the superficial aspects of Christianity, just, you know, kind of hits, if you will, like the high points in that fact, the feel-good aspects of the faith. But everything else they've largely disregarded. They've largely tossed off because those things those things don't exist anymore in our lives. They've thrown away all that tradition, all that time, all that beauty of our faith, all those truths to the faith that perhaps are just inconvenient to them. And their religion truly becomes empty, truly becomes something that is vacant. But when we see the adornment of even their churches, it's not just their faith that's empty, but it's even shown in their own imagery to be empty. Much like their cross. Their cross is empty. It's void of the body of our Lord hanging upon the cross. The crucifix, as we all know it as Catholics, we all see it every single day. We have it hanging in our homes. We have it on our rosary beads. We have it in our church. We have it, you know, all over the place for ourselves to see that body of our Lord hanging on the cross. And with today's Mass being the Mass of the five holy wounds, we can understand a little bit now, or I explain a little bit now, why it is that we find that so important to hold on to, and why the Protestants find it such so important for them to disregard. Why do they take off the corpus from the cross? For us, it's the greatest symbol that our faith has, really. You know, when you come to a Catholic church, the first thing that you expect to see over the altar is a crucifix. When you come here to St. Hugh, not only do you see it over the altar, but you see it over the very sanctuary itself, a very large and beautiful crucifix. And on that, we see our Lord with the five wounds that he has. The wounds of his hands, the wounds of his feet, and the wounds in his side. And we're reminded of that great action on Calvary. We're reminded of that great sacrifice that he made for us. We're reminded that all that our sin costs, that is the price of our sin, that is the measure of love that God gives to us, is faithful. Yet for the Protestants, they do away with it, and it seems strange, but they have to in a way, because but the fact that their religion, in their faith, they wouldn't say this to you outwardly, but essentially, they view that almost as a shameful moment or something to turn away from in the life of our Lord. Almost as if God was conquered at that very moment by hanging on the cross, that he had some sort of weakness there that they want to stick away. We recognize it to be the most triumphal act that he did, because as the scripture says, he lays down his life for his flock. He is the good shepherd. Nobody takes it from him, but he gives it freely. Yet they conveniently, while they could quote that to you very easily, they conveniently leave that off because they forget that that is the image and that is the price for sin. We are sinful people. And they wanted you to believe that, well, Jesus died once, and that merited for all the sins of the world, and then that's it. We don't have to think about sin any longer. We don't have to think about changes made to our life, fighting against our own inclinations, all that hard anymore, because of the fact that Jesus paid for him, and as long as I believe him to be my personal Lord and Savior, as they will happily tell you, as long as I believe in him, nothing else matters. Now, I was in line I got into Grand Forks late in the evening and realized about three quarters of the way up to North Dakota, conveniently, that I had left my toiletry bag here at the church, which was not going to help me to shave and brush my teeth and comb my hair the next morning. And so I had to like make a late night stop, and the only place, of course, open at that time is a Walmart. And so I went to Walmart and collected some basic toiletry things. And the lady at the, in the line at the Walmart, you know, kind of a slow lady, she just says, you know, oh, you're a priest? I said, yes. And she said, well, as long as you believe in Jesus, it doesn't matter what brand you are. That's as long as we have that aspect. We believe in Jesus. I said, no, it's not that. I said, you know, our Catholic faith is you know, the faith that Christ started. And the reason why you choose a religion is because you believe that religion to be the true religion. You believe it to be the one that's going to the church that'll save you. It's not good enough to just hold on to the fact that as long as you believe in Jesus. And, you know, she kind of looked at me and then just kind of started putting things into bags and didn't really say much more. I think she thought I was the crazy one in the conversation. But it's that mentality that's there. It's an empty mentality, because it doesn't matter what you do in your life as long as you believe. And so therefore, Jesus is off the cross. We don't need to think about the sacrifice aspect of faith anymore. The sacrifice was paid once, now we just focus on the resurrection. We start thinking about Easter bunnies and eggs, and that's it. No more sadness, no more scary thoughts of the faith. Whitewashed completely. But we know better. We're Catholics. We know that that is the greatest triumph in the history of mankind. A triumph over death itself by being God himself, allowing himself being laid down. Today is the feast of St. Gabriel, the archangel. Tomorrow is the feast of the Annunciation. What are we celebrating in those? We're celebrating the very coming of God upon earth. St. Gabriel was the messenger, and at the Annunciation, he tells Our Lady that she'll conceive of the God-child. Yet there was no other purpose for him to come, no other reason for him to be here than to hang on that cross. There was no other reason for him to come than to pay the ultimate price for sin. In God's providence, that's what he did. And for us to think that we should just strip that away because it's inconvenient is really overlooking the most important tenet to our faith, alongside, yes, with the resurrection, but really the crucifixion. That's why he became man, for no other reason other than to show us the price for sin on the cross. And in doing so, by his life and by his death, show us the very way that we have to live to get to heaven. Now, the Protestants are right. The ultimate price for sin was paid for by the cross. But it's up to us to follow in those same footsteps and share in that passion with our Lord, to share in the wounds that he suffered. Because it's only by sacrifice, it's only by giving of ourselves, it's only by conquering our fallen human nature that we can actually live in accordance to the way he did. He was made to suffer. And it's only by doing these things that we can show that we love him. He suffered everything for us as the ultimate act of love. We, in turn, can only show him that we love him by loving him when it's hard. That's all, you know, I think you've probably heard me say it several times. That's the real litmus test as to where true love exists. Loving somebody when it's difficult. A parent passes that test when, you know, they come home after a long day at work and the father comes home and finds, you know, that one of the kids drew all over the walls, and they still have to try to love that child when all they want to do is throttle them. Or that, you know, when stress just builds in the household and it just boils over and you think, you know, boy, if they could just kind of disappear for several hours, that would be very nice. Or whatever, you know, myriad of different ways that when spouses, you know, look at each other and have a big argument, and they have to find a way tomorrow to still love each other through the difficult times. That's when it is shown that there's true love there. And it's the same for us to love God. We can only show that we really love Him when we do the things that we have to when they're hard. When we pray when we don't want to. When we conquer our faults day by day, fighting our temptations, temptations that are naturally pleasing to us. When we go through seasons like Lent and we fast and we offer up little sacrifices in our lives willingly. When we make sure that when inconveniences come, we try to do the right thing in order to offer them up for the benefit of other souls, or offer those sacrifices that we can't avoid up for the holy souls in purgatory. Or when we don't shy away from having the difficult conversation or being the bad guy in a situation because it means standing up for our faith in a time when it's difficult. All of these things, these are little tiny shares in the passion of our Lord. These are little tiny wounds to ourself, to our natural self, in order to share in the supernatural aspect of Christ. And it's always important to keep our eyes on that picture, because that's all it ever is in this life. That conquering of ourselves, that conquering of our lower nature, that offering up of sacrifices willingly, that making sure to have that charity towards our neighbor when it's hard, all of those things only are difficult on a natural plane, only wound us in a natural way. But supernaturally, they make us stronger. Just like that image of the cross that the Protestants see as a victory for those who are evildoers, the Jews and the Romans, as they persecuted our Lord. They see it as a victory for the bad guys, if you will. And Christ died. But we know better. We see our Lord has physical wounds in that crucifixion. But we know that His divinity, His supernatural part, never was touched at all. In fact, that shows the very strength of God Himself. And for us, that's our motto moving forward all the time. When our life is hard, when our faith to be practiced is difficult, when we don't think that we have we think that we're wavering, we don't know that we're going to see our way through it, or we don't see how they're going to make it, all we have to do is look up. And we look up and we see the cross. We look up and we see that no matter what, I succeed spiritually. I'm stronger supernaturally. And whatever happens on this life, as long as I'm stronger in that life, well, that's the part that lasts forever. And that will be our victory, just as it was our Lord's victory. God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.